I'm Emily Alphen Johnson, VPR Digital Producer. Your time is valuable, so we've edited this episode for clarity and brevity.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Bob Kinzel. The recent teacher strike in Burlington highlights the fact that there are roughly a dozen states, including Vermont, where it is legal for teachers to strike. Roughly three dozen other states prohibit this from taking place. Should Vermont join this list? Caledonia Senator Joe Benning has introduced legislation that bans teacher strikes, and the bill also prohibits school boards from imposing contracts on teachers.
The problem is we've been doing the same thing for the past 200 years. And what we have is a major problem that causes very much grief through all sides and leaves communities very divided. And that's where we are today, a system that has broken down.
Should Vermont lawmakers pass this bill? With us today to discuss this issue are Martha Allen, who is president of Vermont NEA, the teachers' union, and Neil O'Dell, who serves on the board of the Vermont School Boards Association. He's also a member of the Norwich School Board. And we're going to start our discussion today with one of the sponsors of the bill that bans teacher strikes and prohibits school boards from imposing a contract on teachers, and that's Burlington Representative Kurt Wright. Representative Wright, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me, Bob, as always.
So tell us, why do you think this bill is needed? Vermont hasn't had an overwhelming number of teacher strikes in the past 25 years, so why should this legislation be passed?
So let's start with, let me read just a two-sentence. This is a typical email that I got over and over from parents during this strike in Burlington. I support our teachers as well, and that's why this is so sad. It's making me feel negatively toward them when I've always felt my daughter has had good teachers. It's the strike that's the problem. And that is a typical comment that I got over and over. So teachers have an incredibly important job, as we all know, teaching the next generation. We want teachers to be respected in the community. We want them to be revered for the important job that they have. And what happens when there's a strike in a community? It creates divisiveness. It's disruptive to families. It leaves behind long-lasting acrimony and scars that last long past the strike is over. So I think it's a really bad situation where we have teachers in that kind of an adversarial relationship position in the community. It's really unfortunate, and we don't want to ever leave where, fairly or unfairly, where some parents feel like this one and many others that contacted me felt. So you start there. There won't be any bargaining rights taken away from teachers. The only thing that they'll lose, really, is that they won't have the leverage of students and families being used sort of as leverage during a labor dispute. And that's just wrong. We should never want that to be happening.
Well, they might, Representative Wright, they might also say that you're taking away a lot of their bargaining power.
Well, I don't think it's taking away bargaining power, because if it was a bill that just said we're taking away your right to strike, sure. But what did the teachers and the union ask for, and they held up signs in the Burlington strike, Bob? The sign said, don't impose, negotiate. And yet they opposed a bill that actually called for exactly that, for there to be no impositions and no strikes. And so, you know, it's sort of having it both ways there. We don't want a bill that tells the school boards they can't impose and we can't strike, but when an imposition happens, we're going to, you know, strike, and we're going to say they shouldn't have imposed, they should have kept negotiating. I think it's kind of tough to have it both ways there.
Okay, so tell me what happens under your bill, no strikes and no imposition of contracts. Let's say the two sides still can't reach agreement. What happens under your plan?
They continue to negotiate just as they wanted to in this Burlington situation. And, Bob, we took significant testimony in the Education Committee that I was on 2 years ago when we got within one vote of passing this bill on the House floor. And what we heard was that with the nuclear options removed, strikes, impositions, that the vast majority, I mean, somebody can always point to one district here or there, but that the vast, vast majority are settled in a timely fashion, probably faster than they would be now, where they're dragged out much longer. And so the reality is, that's what we heard for testimony, that people, without these nuclear options, people get down to bargaining in good faith, and they settle the contracts in a timely basis. Now, can they always point to one or two? Sure. But in recognition of those questions, we put in place a task force to say, look, we banned the impositions, we banned the strikes, and we still have a system in place that's there now that works, we believe. But let's have a task force take a comprehensive look at finality and how things work at the end of the process and suggest whether there needs to be any changes to the process. And also we've called for negotiations to be done totally in public, unless both sides agree that there's some reason for them to be not done in public. That's another element of the new bill.
Now, in the past, Representative Wright, haven't you supported a provision that would call for binding arbitration if there couldn't be an agreement, and you've dropped that from the bill?
That's correct. My first iterations of the bill had binding arbitration in place because that's what I thought had to be the final answer. Now, the teachers union has said in the past that they would give up the right to strike if they had binding arbitration in place. Now, what happened in testimony when that was proposed was very different, though. They wanted the binding arbitration to be done only the way they wanted. And second, what they would say is the line that they always use and they're using now, which is, we really don't need any changes. So, of course, you couldn't get the bill passed if the union was saying, we don't want any changes because we settled 5,000 contracts successfully. And the School Boards Association opposes that because they see that as handing off to an outside arbitrator local decisions. As well, they've found that when that's been used, and Bob, that's only used in one state. There's only one state that does not have strikes or impositions and that uses binding arbitration. So other states have figured this out, and they have managed to work this out successfully, you know, except for where they're going to point to one or two districts here or there. But for the vast majority, they've gone forward without the strikes, and it's worked much better. They've avoided the disruption, the divisiveness, having teachers in an adversarial position, which we should never want them to be. Students and families are not in the middle of a labor dispute, which we should never want them to be. We're willing to take a look at that with a task force and see whether any changes need to be suggested. But if we stick with the line that 5,000 contracts were settled successfully. Okay, well, we've had a number of strikes in the last few years, and there's more pressure on taxpayers and the affordability issue, and there's a chance that there's going to be more strikes. We hope not, but that chance certainly exists. But regardless, if we said 5,000 contracts were settled successfully, and so it's okay to just continue down this path, I mean, if we had a road that we knew was just designed very poorly and was very dangerous on a particular curve, but 98 or 99% of the time, cars managed to negotiate it successfully, but every so often, there was a really bad accident. I don't think we'd just say, okay, well, that's okay, because most of the time, people negotiate it successfully.
Yep.
So I think that that's not the right argument there.
Burlington Representative Kurt Wright, many thanks for joining us today and explaining your thoughts behind this legislation. Let's turn to our guests and see what they think of this. And let's start off with Martha Allen. Martha, what are your thoughts about this bill?
Well, as you might guess, Bob, Vermont NEA does not support Representative Wright's bill. This is definitely an attack on our collective bargaining, and we really do believe that collective bargaining works very well. And he did mention 5,000 contracts have been settled over the years. That's a lot of contracts, and we've had very few strikes and very few impositions along the way. And I think that it's the Vermont saying, if it ain't broke, you don't need to fix this. I think that we need to really focus on other educational issues instead of this one at this time.
How do you think it would affect the negotiations if this bill was in place and teachers couldn't strike and school boards could not impose a contract? How would that affect negotiations and bargaining, do you think?
Well, at this time, there are other contracts in other states negotiating that don't have the right to strike and impose, and there's no finality. There are contracts that people working without a contract for a long time because they aren't able to come to a settlement. One good thing about having imposition and the right to strike is that we do manage to come to settlements. It's a last resort, and it is exceedingly rare, but it is something that really does help us come to settlement.
And how about this concept of binding arbitration?
Well, we've looked at that over the years. The problem right for us right now is the climate in our country is really attacking workers and the middle class. And we believe that taking away workers' rights right now is just not a good thing. And the right to strike is fundamental here.
Neil O'Dell, from the perspective of a school board member, what are your thoughts about this bill?
You know, we certainly haven't had a chance to read the proposal yet. As we all know, the devil is always in the details. But, you know, I do know 2 years ago, the VSBA membership supported a resolution that took a look at, you know, fundamentally changing the framework for collective bargaining. And that did include, you know, removal of imposition as well as removal of teacher strikes. And the VSBA supports that. We think that, you know, the current climate, the current infrastructure, the current collective bargaining framework right now is not, you know, it's not conducive to produce the results that we think that we're going to need to be able to continue support education in the future here in Vermont.
What do you mean by that?
You know, we've got, you know, as a school board member, you know, the current framework pushes both management and labor towards confrontation and not solutions. And school boards are feeling increased pressure to keep costs and property tax rates down in practically all districts. You know, benefits account for 70% to 80% of our budgets. And we've got legislative mandates such as Act 85 that's forced school boards to start this year with even less money than they'd budgeted. And decreased federal grant monies have an impact as well. And you add all of those things together, and then you sit down at the bargaining table with your teachers, and they ask for some, you know, some extraordinary raises and near universal coverage of their health care. You can begin to understand the predicament that school board members are in. And, you know, we're volunteers, but we volunteered for this position because we wanted to do it, and we're willing to tackle the issues. But the current framework is just making it really difficult to, you know, to affect the changes that I think that we need to see in Vermont.
Let's talk to Stephen, who's calling from Newport. Hi, Stephen. Welcome to the program.
Thank you for this conversation. I'm a career-long union member and teacher who just recently retired, and I've served on a number of negotiation teams. And I must say that I actually support the idea of eliminating the right to strike and eliminating the right to impose. But I would want to put the binding arbitration piece in there. I think it's really important. The school board members' representative said something about extraordinary raises. Well, I've also known school boards to come to the negotiating table offering -1% over 3 years. The current model requires both sides to come in with pretty extreme positions and play a game of contract chicken. And I'd like to see a situation where both sides have to come in with very reasonable positions, knowing that if they're not going to agree, then it's going to have to go to a reasonable arbitrator who's going to look at who's being the most reasonable in their position.
Stephen, thanks for your phone call very much. Neil, how do you feel about binding arbitration? Martha wasn't too enthusiastic about it. What about you?
We aren't enthusiastic about it either, but for different reasons. You know, I know that Martha hinted at it. You know, fundamentally, I don't think it's the right thing to have somebody who comes, you know, from outside of Vermont who has no ties to the local community to make, you know, binding recommendations as to how the contract should be settled. But beyond that, on a broader perspective, you know, if you look at binding arbitration, the process itself is not set up to allow for innovative and creative and collaborative solutions to the problems we have. Binding arbitration really, you know, serves to maintain the status quo. So, you know, we're not in favor of it for that reason.
And Martha, the idea that teachers would be giving up some of their bargaining power, you know, Senator Benning would say a lot has changed in Vermont over the last 100 years. We need a new employment model. What would you say to him?
Well, I disagree with that. I think that our collective bargaining has been working well over the years, and it can continue in the same way. Referring to what was just spoken with arbitration, when in our current process, we have a fact-finding, a level of fact-finding, if the board and the union disagree, can't and come to impasse, and the fact finder comes up with a report, and that is something that many school boards and teachers and support staff honor. Once the report comes in, it'll give a settlement, possible settlement, and oftentimes that's agreed upon. So we already have that kind of a situation, and I think that we should just keep that going. And I think that our collective bargaining system has been working for a long time. It keeps boards and local educators involved right up to the end. And I think that that's the way we should keep it.
Let's go back to our callers and talk to Robert in Jericho. Hey, Robert, what's on your mind today?
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I guess what I'd like to ask Martha Allen is, how can we say that the system is working well? And though I do support her, the general point about not taking away the right to strike, but we've had a system in place where year in and year out, settlements are running at 2 to 3 times the rate of inflation and 2 to 3 times the rate of increase of incomes for average Vermonters. Neil mentioned that they're volunteer boards. I was a volunteer on the board for 11 years, and I know from experience that the union consistently, without exception, runs the system, runs the negotiations to the longest possible time, and just grinds the boards down. And as for her allusion to fact finder, I think we should change that word, Bob, because all the fact finders are empowered to do is look at neighboring settlements. And all the union has to do is get one district to give in, and bang, that's how you have a domino effect. So I don't see how we could say we've had all these contracts and it's worked well. It has worked well for the union, but I don't see how it has worked well for average Vermonters or taxpayers.
Okay, Robert, thanks for your phone call. Martha, are you concerned that the current labor situation is in some ways perhaps turning some people against teachers?
Well, I hope not, Bob. Our teachers do an amazing, amazing job, and they're professionals. We need to keep that in mind. These are professional educators who go to school throughout their careers to improve their teaching practice. And I think that gets lost in the mix. These people are dedicated to improving the opportunities for the students in our state. And we don't complain about paying for other professionals as much as we complain about teachers, and it's really unfortunate. This is something that we need to keep in mind. Yes, teacher salaries have been fought for over the years, but years ago, we were last in the nation. We had the lowest salary, average salary in the nation. And what we need to do is encourage people to go into public education, encourage smart people to come and work in our schools. And you can only do that if you're going to be paying them professional wages and benefits. And I think that that gets lost in the mix, and we need to pay attention to that. And this current system, our current collective bargaining system, helps to encourage our boards and teachers to work toward settlements that provide good working conditions for our staff, and in turn, that provides our students with excellent learning conditions.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Bob Kinsel. Today we're looking at proposed legislation that would ban teacher strikes in Vermont. Neil, in that legislation that Representative Wright and Senator Benning were proposing, they call for negotiations in open session. What kind of impact would that have?
We think that that would have a positive impact on the process. I think you'll find that in this last session, school boards across the state, I think, took a more close look at Vermont open meeting law and concluded that the constraints didn't prevent us from holding those initial labor negotiation sessions in open session. And I think it's an important aspect of the process because it allows the public to understand the opening positions for both the union and the board. Transparency, I think, in this case is a great thing. And I can understand when you get further along in the process and you're trying to just work out the details and get to a final settlement, those things may want to be, you know, in non-public session. But the initial exchange of proposals and those first rounds of negotiation, I think, really ought to be carried out in public session.
Martha, what are your thoughts about that?
Well, Bob, what's happened in the past is the ground rules are set at the very beginning of negotiations, and sometimes both the school board and the teachers or support staff decide that that would be fine in open session, and other times not. To tell you the truth, it's a long and arduous process. I don't know how many people would want to sit through it, but I've been at the table for a lot of years, and it's sometimes... It's slow going, but if it's done in open session, then fine. It's one of the things that's been dealt with at the local level, and I think I prefer it to be done that way so that school boards and teachers or support staff can make those decisions on their own.
Although we do know that there were, you know, school boards that met opposition from their local unions in this, and you know, a case was filed with the Vermont Public Relations Labor Board because they felt that it was unfair that boards essentially they thought were forcing unions to negotiate in public session. And, you know, that case is now going on to the Vermont Supreme Court. So I'm a little curious to understand how the Vermont NEA seems to think that process is okay. We would welcome that as school boards.
As I mentioned, I think it's more of an individual case-by-case issue. If that's the for those communities that chose to those unions, those locals who chose to oppose that, then we will support them. We support what our locals are fighting for.
Let's go back to our callers and talk to Jean, who's calling from Burlington. Hi, Jean. Welcome to the program.
I just want to say our family is a big union family. Unions have given a lot of rights to workers over the years. But I am beginning to believe that that the system we have is not working and that teachers perhaps, I have to think it through, but I'm really thinking that perhaps it's time to change the rights of teachers to strike. But do know is that the system needs to be open. The ability for the public to really hear and understand what's going on. I don't care how arduous.
Okay, Jean, thanks very much for your phone call. Martha Allen, a couple of people have asked me, were the main issues in the Burlington strike unique to that community, or are these issues that we might see coming up in other communities this fall?
Well, what it boiled down to, the major problem here for Burlington, it's my understanding, is that they were working, there were professional issues that needed to be confronted, and the teachers wanted more time to be working with their students, and they were, that was really important to them, especially in the elementary school. So I think that goes back to working conditions that will provide good learning conditions for our students. So that particular issue may have been unique to Burlington, but there are other similar professional issues that will come up in individual communities.
Martha, I've also heard that a majority of teachers in Vermont are working right now without a contract. Is that true, and what's the implication of that?
We have quite a few who are negotiating right now. Their contracts have expired. This is all a problem that is stems from the healthcare issue. Unfortunately, we have had to open all of the negotiations this year because of transitions of healthcare plans. And there is a hard stop on that. Everyone will be in a new plan January 1st. Vermont NEA worked hard to try to get the VHI board to phase in the new plans so that every contract would not be expiring at the same time. And unfortunately, that was not supported. So every contract expires at the same time. And now we're dealing with healthcare issues. And so it's just taking longer. There's more stress. The right to strike doesn't have anything to do with that particular issue. It's that we have a lot of contracts that are still out there. And we're trying our best to settle them. Settlements are coming in. I'd like to commend the teachers, support staff, and school boards who have worked hard together in their communities to come to settlements. And unfortunately, we still have many out there.
Well, what's the outlook, do you think, for the next couple of weeks or months? Are we going to see some more strikes in Vermont?
I hope not. Nobody wants to strike. This is not anything that our teachers and support staff want to do. So I'm hoping that with the Burlington settlement, that will send a sign that we can get to settlements. We do have two existing impositions right now, South Burlington teachers, and in Brandon, the paraeducators and bus drivers. So we're hoping that those two groups will be able to get back to the table and turn that imposition around and come to a settlement.
Let's turn to Robert, who's calling from Essex. Hi, Robert. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. I just wanted to suggest that I think the basic model for negotiations is broken, and that's what's led to situations like that in Burlington. It was interesting that when that strike was finally settled, one of the things the parties agreed on was to pursue a more collaborative approach to working out some of the issues around working conditions for teachers. The basic negotiation model that's been in place for years is one based on compromise. And much like Congress, it doesn't always work very well. You know, both sides come in with a list of positions, many of which are throwaway items, they know it, many of which are far beyond what they actually are willing to settle for or far below. And then things get strung out and unfortunately strikes happen. I'd like to suggest that a collaborative model where folks sit down together and agree on basic needs of each party and perhaps on a sum of money that is there to operate with when it comes to salaries and benefits, and then you go from there as to how you parse that out, may be much more effective. There's plenty of evidence in other places in our society where a collaborative negotiation model is far more successful than one based on compromise.
And Robert, do you think this bill would lead to more collaboration?
I don't know. I have some reservations about taking away the union's ability to use their nuclear option. I'm sure there are people on boards who would have the same concern about theirs, the imposition. So I don't know, but I think that reframing how we approach negotiations and again looking at a more collaborative model, and there are plenty of them out there that have been used in industry and other places more fairly effectively. So I'm not sure how that legislation would really facilitate that other than maybe it would force people to keep talking, but that could go on and on and on and on too. So in answer to your question, I guess I'm not really sure.
Okay, Robert, we really appreciate your phone call. Today on the program, we're looking at proposed legislation that would ban teacher strikes and also prohibit school boards from imposing contracts. Neil, you're in a kind of interesting situation, and almost a unique situation. You're a school board member in Norwich, and that's really an interstate school board. You have experience dealing with teachers in Vermont and teachers in New Hampshire. How does that work?
Well, yeah, I guess it works. The short answer is it works well. So, yeah, being a part of the interstate school district, I've been a member for the past 8 years, and for all of that time, I've served on both the negotiations committees in Norwich and Vermont, and also on the Dresden negotiations committee, which handles the teachers in Hanover, New Hampshire. And I would say that there is an aspect of the negotiations in Hanover that feels much less confrontational. You know, I think the tenor at the table has been different, the feelings on all sides. And I think it is part due to the fact that in Vermont, we know that there is, you know, an end that is possibly the nuclear option that both sides have available to them. And I found that in the negotiations with the New Hampshire teachers, we don't feel that pressure, that the tenor is different. We still come to agreement.
And so you think having the fact that no strikes, no imposition of contracts, that affects the contract negotiations?
I think it does, you know, in a positive way. I think the idea that, you know, teachers don't need to worry about the board imposing the conditions of employment on them, and boards and communities not having to worry about teachers walking off the job, de-escalates the nature of the discussions and gives everybody the ability to, you know, thoughtfully consider the positions on the table and come to an agreement.
Martha, what are your thoughts about that? Do you think that could be an outcome if this kind of legislation passed?
I think it boils down to the relationship between the teachers and the school board to begin with. You need to work on that. With Robert's comments about being collaborative with bargaining, we have a lot of thousands of, as I've mentioned, thousands of contracts have been settled in a collaborative fashion. And I think that that is something that can be done if you work on good relationships and avoid ideology that might fracture that kind of relationship. But sometimes there are fundamental issues that must be dealt with, and teachers stand together to fight for what's just. And sometimes it gets to that stage. But I think that for the most part, as Neil said, for the most part, folks work really hard to come to an agreement in a collaborative fashion.
Let's go back to our callers and talk to Josh, who's calling from Fairfax. Hi, Josh. Welcome to the program.
I'm actually from Oklahoma and want to let everybody try and give Vermonters a warning. Exactly what you guys are going through is exactly what we went through in Oklahoma. A couple years ago, probably about 3 or 5 years ago, our lawmakers decided that the lottery fund would fund schooling, and so they start stripping money from the schools. And then shortly after that, we started losing teachers, so much so that when I left in March of this year to move here, 36% of the teachers' positions were not filled in Oklahoma. We never had collective bargaining, and unions are very seldom, and we don't have exactly what Vermont has. I'm pretty new to it.
Thanks very much, Josh. Let's turn to Steve in Underhill. Hi, Steve. Welcome to the program.
Yes, hi. Thanks very much. So I feel like this bill goes two-thirds of the way. I think eliminating strikes and eliminating imposition makes sense. But I really do feel we need some kind of process to resolve impasses, and binding arbitration to me seems like a reasonable way to go. I know the School Board Association rep had voiced concern about, you know, having an out-of-state arbiter make decisions for Vermont, but I kind of view that as a straw dog. I mean, it feels like we could have an in-state arbiter, or at least we could get people trained to be aware of Vermont issues, and so I think that's really a non-issue. To me, both strikes and impositions do incredible harm, and we should do everything we can to avoid it. And I know as a teacher that if a board imposes, I have really no option but to strike, and I don't like that.
Steve, thanks very much for your phone call. Neil, you were saying the impact that you think the difference between negotiating with teachers in New Hampshire and Vermont, one may be less contentious than the other. Well, how about the idea of binding arbitration? If a school board knew that a binding arbiter was going to decide, you know, one side or the other, wouldn't that have an effect on the negotiations?
Well, I think it would, but I think it comes down to the idea that I am not convinced that someone that has absolutely no connections to the local community is in a position to make the best decisions for both the community and the teachers that work there. You know, really, arbitration, you know, in my mind, is an extension of the fact-finding process. And unfortunately for boards across the state, the current fact-finding process that relies almost entirely on comparables. It relies on the settlements that were made in neighboring or in sometimes not even neighboring school districts to drive what the recommended wage rate increase is for that board that's under discussion with the, and it is a system that just doesn't work. Well, I should say, let me clarify. It is a system that works very well for the Vermont NEA. They go through a state level approach to this. This is not, you know, I don't want to confuse, this is not local bargaining. The Vermont NEA approaches this at the state level. They affect settlements quickly where they can achieve good settlements, and those become the basis to feed into the rest of the process. It feeds into the fact-finding process, and you know, then we're left with a fact-finding report. If you look at the three reports that came out recently, the one in Burlington, South Burlington, and again in Norwich, the fact finder disregarded primarily all of the economic data that were provided by the school boards and recommended salary wage settlements that compared to the other settlements that had already occurred in the state.
Martha, what about this criticism? And we've heard it somewhat in a number of places that Vermont NEA does exactly what Neil was saying. You know, you get a settlement in one place and then you use that settlement to try to affect the settlement in another part of the state. What about that criticism?
Well, we do have regional councils who get together and talk about what's going on. As far as a state-level strategy, we really try hard to support our local associations in the work that they're doing. And it's up to them to make their decisions in the end. And just keep in mind here that we have amazing schools. We're in the top five in the country, and it's because we've got dedicated professionals in our classrooms. And we need to keep that in mind. It comes down to arguing about money, but we also need to argue about what's best for our young Vermonters. They're our future, and we need to have professionals who are making livable professional wages in every town in our state. And we have to keep our eye on the prize there as far as what our students need. We need equity. We need teachers everywhere to be working under good working conditions. And that's where we focus.
Let's talk to Margaret, who is calling from Claremont, New Hampshire. Hi, Margaret. Welcome to the program.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just wanted to say a couple of things. I'd like to thank your guest for all the things that she's doing for teachers statewide. And I'd also like to bring up something that she mentioned. Teachers are professionals. I don't know of any rich teachers or support staff. I just know that they want to make a decent living. For them not to go on strike, I think that the boards and whoever the powers that be should come to them with real ideas, real sets of money that they can use, and not bring the throwaway stuff to the table, and just be real with the teachers and the support staff, and that way they wouldn't have to go on strike. Talk to them. They will tell you the truth. This is the last thing they want to do.
Martha, what do you think about this idea of having a statewide health care contract for all teachers? That might come up again in 2018.
We are not for that, Bob. I think you know that. We are having, this is not going to solve our health care problem. Health care is huge. It's driving our negotiations to a bad place because people are thinking that a statewide negotiations for healthcare is going to solve this problem. What we need to do is look at Bernie's Medicare for All. We want healthcare for everyone, and that is something to focus on so that we can provide everyone with quality healthcare. And this is a Band-Aid that it's not going to solve this problem at all.
Very briefly, Neil, what do you think of that idea?
I think there is some merit to a statewide teacher's healthcare contract. If one teacher could move from district to district, know that their healthcare was exactly the same and cost exactly the same amount no matter where they go, I think that's a good thing. And in addition, I think, you know, negotiating at the state level is merely just recognize what's already occurring. The Vermont NEA is already handling this at the state level. Give boards the same leverage.
We'll certainly be following this issue when lawmakers return to Montpelier in January. Many thanks to our guest today, Martha Allen of Vermont NEA, and Neil O'Dell of the Vermont School Boards Association, and also Burlington Representative Kurt Wright. That is our program today. On Monday, Vermont is losing 1,500 acres of forest land a year. We'll talk about what that means for the state and its environment. Send your questions to vermontedition@bpr.net. Vermont Edition is produced by Rick Sengary and Emily Alfin Johnson. The director of the program is Jake Rusnak. We had production assistance from Gene Murphy. Sam Gale Rosen is our managing editor. I'm Bob Kinzel. Have a great weekend.